Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to the Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 612. I'm your host, Josh Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox Penthouse. My trusty sidekick, Agent Fox Mulder, is on the floor over there, soaking up the sun as he's sitting near the window and just sunbathing away. Looking all regal as one three-legged cat, as regal as a three-legged cat can look. He's got his... He's perching his head, you know, pointing his head toward the sky a little bit. Just, he's chillaxing. Well, his head's kind of down, but, I mean, he's looking good. Looking good. I'm recording this one, trying to knock it out early. It's like, before noon. Well, I mean, I guess that's about normal time. I guess I do record them fairly early. I feel like I'm doing it a day early. I'm not. It's just that I'm throwing myself all out of whack this week. Because, of course, every Mother's Day, Shelly, my mother, and I go to the zoo. And, of course, Nabina will be going with us as well, I do believe. We do that every year. It's a ritual to go to the zoo. And so, normally I've got a whole routine, man. I'm a creature of habit. Every Sunday I do all my cleaning. My laundry, grocery shopping, all that fun stuff, and which has made me really hate Sundays now. It's just the day I do all the things that I don't want to do the rest of the week. But because we're doing this stuff on Sunday, I now have to do all of that shit today when I would normally do the podcast. I thought about recording yesterday, but I was just so rough work at week, man. Fucking beat. Did quite a bit of running this week, too. So, yeah, I was a little tired. Didn't want to do the podcast. I did run right before doing this, so I'm a little amped with the monster coursing through my veins. So, yeah, I feel weird doing it. Like, I'm really not recording it early, but it seems like I'm just trying to knock it out and whatnot. It's just... It's throwing my shit all out of whack. And next week, I'm going to have to probably... Yeah, I guess I'm going to record either really early in the morning Saturday or do it Friday night. Because next week, going to a wedding. My cousin Justin is getting married to his partner, Ethan. As this is kind of exciting. I mean, I don't like weddings, but I mean, this is the first gay wedding I've been to, so that's pretty exciting. And I mean, I remember when Justin was born. He's quite a bit younger than me. He's like barely 30, 31-ish. I don't know. He's more than 10 years younger than me, I do believe. And but it's kind of exciting. But again, I'm not a wedding guy, man. I'm not a wedding guy. I'm kind of glad that I'm of the age now where if my friends are getting married, it's for like the second or third time, and there's not a real big celebration, we maybe go over to their house, you know? Like, they're not going to spend a whole lot of money celebrating the fact that they got married. For the second or third time, you know? It's like the first one, you think it's going to be... The idea is that this is forever, and... So you're going to spend a fuck ton of money on, and then you're probably going to be paying on, you know, for a while. As, you know, most of my friends don't come from rich families, so their parents aren't, you know, paying for the wedding. So it's debt they take on themselves. As, never been real crazy about going to weddings, doing the duck dance. And all that stuff. I mean, it was kind of cool the first time I did it when my buddy Todd got married and I was the best man. And when his brother Carl got married, I was not in the groom for that. But I don't know. I mean, one of those, it was kind of cool. And then, it's not, it was, you know, somebody I was really close to and stuff. And, although his second marriage was probably much better. It's going strong. I guess it, I mean, it is a little bit different if you're like part one of the groomsmen and stuff, but as if you're not really part of that and, it's just, I really just don't really care for like dressing up and whatnot. It's just not something I give a fuck about. I don't want to have to wear a suit and all that shit. That's really what it boils down to. Then I'm older. I'm just like, maybe it's the fact that, you know, I'm a 43-year-old single man that's never been married that doesn't want to partake in it. I'm not sure what it is. I'm just not real crazy about going to, having to go to weddings. It's like, shit. Like, I'll look for reasons to get out of it. Like, I'm going to go to the one. I wasn't aware of, I knew they were getting, Justin and Ethan were getting married. I just didn't know when until like a week or two ago. I was like, oh, shit. Well, I guess that kills my plans for that weekend. I'm glad I didn't have anything too important, but I was like looking at, you know, possibly going to do some shit. So that's, yeah. That is that. I just, right before recording this show, I did have, I almost paid off my first Gibson. So that's some exciting news. It's almost paid for. I only have like $200 left to pay on that, which is good now that I have a bill for a new furnace, like in the mix, that I will be start paying on next month. It will make that bill hurt slightly less. But then again, I mean, now that I, you know, I'll have one Gibson paid for, you know, maybe there's room for another. we'll see about that. We'll see about that. Anyway, other than that, yeah. Speaking of Gibsons, actually, man, I've been just listening to a lot of fucking Foo Fighters. And it's a crime that I have not been to a Foo Fighters show. And, you know, especially now that, you know, Taylor's not with us anymore. It's, I feel like I just got to get off my ass and go fucking do it before, like, Dave Grohl or, you know, fucking Pat or somebody else goes. But, you know, the first album was just Dave. That was all Dave. So, I mean, Dave's still there. The main, the machine of it at all is still a part of it. But damn, I really got to go to a Foo Fighters show. I've been learning a lot of Foo Fighters songs. And one of my favorites, I would say my favorite album, of course, of the Foo Fighters is Wasting Light. It came out, I want to say, 2010. I'm pretty sure it was 2010. That came out. I was working at the radio station there in Moscow Mills. And let's see when that came out. I'm pretty sure it's 2010, man. 2010? Or no, 2011. Okay. I was still at the radio station. Either way. I was in there at the start of 2010 into 2011. So 2011, right before this podcast came out. Right before we started. Right before the end of the world. And that came out, and holy fuck. I mean, that was a great fucking album. I mean, it's, of course, The Color and the Shape is another just amazing Foo Fighters album, often considered like the best of the best, and it was only their second album. But Wasting Light, holy shit. And then, of course, that's around the time they were put out Sound City. Where's the documentary? And they talk about, like, the recording of that and everything and just fucking shit. They recorded that album in Dave Grohl's fucking house. Well, I guess the documentary was not just about that album. It was more about, you know, the recording place, Sound City, but that they use the board from Sound City, if I remember correctly, about recording that. They put it in Dave's garage. If I got that correct, I believe so. It's been years since I watched that documentary. I want to say they used that same board. It had something to do with it. Maybe I'm wrong on that. There's the great documentary, though, and they put it out now, too, around that time, where Dave Grohl had a bunch of people on that album. He had, like, Stevie Nicks, a bunch of people. Paul McCartney. They put songs with, Trent Reznor, I think, was in there. It was a good mix of people. But holy shit, Wasting Light is just so great. And, of course, Letterman, David Letterman, that is. If you were unaware by me just using his surname. David Letterman's favorite band was the Foo Fighters. I guess still is. I mean, I haven't asked Dave in a while. We don't keep in touch. I'm assuming his favorite band is still the Foo Fighters. But had to kick back some Monster. Of course, his favorite band was the Foo Fighters. And upon them releasing the album Wasting Light, of course, Letterman was still around. They did the whole performance of the album Wasting Light in order on Dave's show. And it's still on YouTube. You can find it. It's all in black and white. They shot it because, of course, that's the Ed Sullivan Theater right there, right where Ed Sullivan broadcasted. And, of course, that's where the fucking Beatles played, on Ed Sullivan. So, you know, they had the Foo Fighters logo in the Beatles font and everything on Taylor's drum kit. And it's a great performance. You can also see on the Foo Fighters YouTube page that they performed the whole album in Dave's garage. Studio 666. And that's another great performance. I don't know if you can see it track by track like you can with the Letterman performance. Like each one is a separate video, but there's a whole performance of them, one recording, all the way through on that. And anyway, yeah. Fucking great shit. But I've got Rope stuck in my head. As I've been learning a little bit of that and Walk. It's made me really want that DG335. I mean, I've been playing that shit because I really want the DG335, not vice versa. Whatever. Yeah, that song is just ding, ding, ding. Ding, ding, ding. Just going through my head. Rope. And I've forgotten, I didn't watch the videos. Well, hell, I didn't watch many Foo Fighters, at least the older videos of Foo Fighters, in a long time. So I went through and was watching the classic Foo Fighters videos along with stuff from Wasting Light. And I had forgotten. The video for Walk is a parody on the Michael Douglas film directed by, well, the Joel Schumacher film. He, of course, directed it. I believe that was before he did Batman and Robin. It's hard to imagine those movies are made by the same person. But Falling Down, if you're not familiar, Michael Douglas is the lead in that one. And he's, he's a working man. He's a working man. He's in his car in a traffic jam in L.A. at the beginning of it. And, of course, he's just sitting in traffic and starts just losing his shit. He just gets out of the car, abandons his vehicle, and then proceeds to, just kind of go off on like a tangent and like almost sort of like Vigilante. With like he gets pissed off at the price of a soda at one point in a gas station and starts beating the shit out of the shelves and stuff. It's been a long time since I watched it. I've got it on DVD, but it's been years since I watched the film. It's a great film. But Michael Douglas just losing his shit. And just about the whole structure of society, basically, is why he loses his shit. And it's a great, the Foo Fighters parody of it's pretty great. Dave Grohl losing his shit and then getting arrested in the end. And the scene that really sticks out to me in Falling Down, though, they did not parody in there, which is, I guess, for the best. But there's this scene in the movie when and it's the titular scene for me, thinking about it. There's this scene where Michael Douglas goes to this army surplus store. He's picking up some weapons, if I remember correctly. But the guy takes him into like the back, if I remember, and like let me show you something. Pulls out a can of Zyklon B. If you're unfamiliar with Zyklon B, during the Holocaust, that is the chemical, of course, that they used to exterminate the Jews. That is, it was originally to kill rats, I believe, and then they used it to kill human beings. And then, of course, in Falling Down, he holds up the nut job from the surplus store, holds it up, and he's like, shakes it. He's like, "Hear that? You hear that, man? It's empty. It's empty. Think about how many Jews they killed." If I remember correctly, I feel like Michael Douglas might have killed that guy. It's, again, it's been years since I watched it, but I mean, it's this fucking psycho dude. Yeah, Zyklon B. And that's just always what I think of in that movie. And just, of course, there's the scene at the beginning, the I guess inciting incident, the thing that just sets everything in motion, is just him stuck in the traffic jam, getting pissed off and exiting the car. They got that in the Foo Fighters video. Damn, I mean, classic Foo Fighters stuff. There's so many just funny videos they've got. I mean, Big Me with the Futos, making fun of the classic Mentos commercials, which makes me really want some food. I want some Futos, man. Futos. No, I don't want... Oh, shit. There's an Instagram page called Futos. Oh, it's instead of photo... That's just not cool. Da-da-da-da-da. I was seeing if there, you know, I wanted to buy some Futos. Would just be the wrapper. Put that wrapper around some Mentos. I want to be a fresh maker. They should just sell that, you know? The Foo Fighters should put out their food. I feel like, though, Mentos would possibly sue them. Copyright infringement. If they're actually selling the product, it might be a little difficult. But, man, I like Mentos. But, which I haven't had in quite a while. But if there was Futos, man, I'd be buying that shit all the time. Be like, fuck yeah, I'm giving Dave Grohl some more money. Futos, the fresh maker. There's a great part, of course, in there where some asshole businessman blocks this girl in that she's driving a classic Mini Cooper. That's before, of course, BMW bought them out. And so it was the OG Mini. And this guy blocks her in. And then the band, of course, this is pre-Shiflet, if I remember correctly, because this is off the first album. This is the... And pre-Taylor Hawkins, because they hadn't gotten Taylor yet. Yeah, this Big Me was on the first album. So Dave is on the only one on the recording. But, of course, Pat Smear, Nate Mendel... I don't remember the original drummer's name. There was just a four-piece at that point, but that was his like touring band. And they're all wearing gloves, and then they after this girl like takes the Futos. They all pick up the vehicle, the Mini Cooper, and then move it so she can get out of there. And of course, you got this underage kid trying to get into a show for the Foo Fighters. And the bouncer's like, fuck no, fuck you, kid. And then of course he pops some Futos and then puts a guitar on, like enters through the band entrance, puts on a guitar and like a bandana, starts playing up next to the band. They're like, what the fuck? And then he eats more Futos and they're like, oh yeah, all right, the kid's eating our product. good shit though, good shit, classic stuff. The Foo Fighters just have so many songs. Though a lot of them, like, I don't have a desire to learn a good chunk of them. I mean, I like listening to them stuff, but not necessarily all of them are ones that like, man, I don't want to play that. It's also difficult because for the majority of the time of the Foo Fighters, there's been three guitarists. Or at least, you know, multiple, you know, it was just Dave. He was, I believe, also recording multiple guitar parts. So it can be hard to really play that shit solo as I do. I don't have a band. So some of them are a little bit more difficult than others than to rock out to. And Wasting Light is one of those that, you know, it's real heavy on the three guitar parts. And I didn't I'd kind of forgotten, I guess, when I was watching some of the video of them playing Wasting Light, that on one of the songs, they're doing dual bass guitars because Pat Smear has a double neck guitar / bass where he's also playing bass. I think actually on the recording, though, it wasn't Pat doing that Chris Novoselic did at least one of those songs with him. I'm pretty sure. Maybe I'm wrong on that. I want to say that. I've got the Wikipedia pulled up on it. It says guest musicians include Bob Mould, Chris Novoselic, Jesse Green, Rami Jaffe, and P. Waybill, which I guess was Rami not... I thought he was already a full-time member of the Foo. Which I guess it's saying here he initially joined in a touring and session capacity in 2005, which I thought he just like a full-time member. Okay, in 2017 he formally joined the band as a full-time member, so he wasn't doing a full-time, just part-time up until 2017. Guess he just didn't want to tour so much. It says he did tour some. But like, we're just like, you know what, next week, I'll join that show. We'll tour then. That's a little... I mean, I could be wrong here, but a lot of the... he was formerly of the Wallflowers. I didn't know that. Jacob Dylan, Bob Dylan's son's band. I did not realize that. but yeah, I mean, his job is... probably, I mean, the Foo Fighters are a guitar rock band. There's, of course, some keyboards in some of it, but, I mean, they are a guitar rock band. I guess you could be part-time as a keyboard player. Oh, man. Looking at this Wasting Light stuff info on it, there was a bonus track in Japan. What the fuck? Better Off. I didn't get that in my version. Son of a bitch. What the hell's why is Japan so special? And now I'm curious, like, is there some kind of like Japanese type stuff going on in this song? I'm sure I've probably heard the song before, just not aware that it was a bonus track on Wasting Light. I'm hoping, see, when we go to the zoo tomorrow, I imagine, I mean, we generally go and eat up in the Loop, the U City there. And, you know, usually pick a place up on Del Mar, be like Blueberry Hill, Fitz's, or just, you know, there's plenty of places up there on the Loop to hit up. And, of course, right next to Blueberry Hill, you've got Vintage Vinyl. I imagine Might want to stop in there. And if they have Wasting Light on vinyl, I will probably get it. I will probably pick it up. As I want to look for some good used ones and hopefully find some good deals on some stuff. I would love to get Dexie and the Midnight Runners or Riders. I think it's the Runners. Midnight Runners. with their, you know, Come On Eileen. I forgot the name of that album. But it's like one of the only albums they put out. They could have 20. I don't know. But Come On Eileen, so fantastic. I love that fucking song. I'd love to find that on vinyl. And I don't get some Rick Astley. Never Gonna Give You Up, man. Whatever album that's on. It might be a few. I know he's put out a lot of music. I haven't listened to a whole lot of this stuff. Man, there's a guy that's aged quite fine. He's still a good-looking fella. As, of course, when he put Never Gonna Give You Up, I mean, he was young, and he looks like just a pole. There was no meat on his bones whatsoever. Which he's not, I mean, he's not fat or anything now, but I mean, he doesn't look like a slight wind would knock him over. But I love that dance, the trench coat. Oh, so good, so good. As, yeah, Vintage Vinyl. I mean, if you're going to be on Del Mar, you got to check out Vintage Vinyl. I mean, it's the best record store I've been to, which is just, it's a very historic. If you're from around the St. Louis area, you're probably aware of Vintage Vinyl. As St. Louis, I guess, has a few record stores. I haven't been to the other ones. Vintage Vinyl, I believe, is the oldest one. And, I mean, they got all kinds of shit there. It's a big record store. Just hopefully I find some decent used stuff. And the Foo Fighters, I doubt there's going to be used records. I mean, if I buy that, it's probably going to be expensive. It's going to be... that one's going to be an expensive one. And if I buy that, then it's probably going to be the only record I buy. as I do have some bills to pay. And I got to drive, you know, I got to pay for gas money. And then the next weekend, I'm driving up St. Louis again. And going to have to spend money, I'm sure, on shit. The way there and back, whatever. Fun stuff, though. Fun stuff. As, I've been still, of course, rocking a lot of video games. As I try to find a good segue out of Vintage Vinyl. I've gotten a little bit further into... Man, it's difficult because I've been playing like three different games. And it's hard to put a lot of time into one. If I just was playing one, I'd be able to put way more time and be further along. But I've gotten a good chunk of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth out of the way now. As from what I understand, there's a lot to it. There's a lot to it. The mini game, the piano game, that seems to be the hardest part of it. There's the Queen's Blood card game, which I think I've pretty much got down. But holy fucking shit, the piano mini game is such a pain in the ass. You gotta, which, you know, I play guitar. If I could just have a mini game where I'm playing the guitar and hit the fucking notes when it tells me to do it, I could do it. Or if I could use a Rock Band controller or Guitar Hero and do it that way, or an actual fucking keyboard. I'm sure I could fucking hit the notes when I need to hit them. And it wouldn't be that big of a deal. It's just as long as it showed me which ones to hit. And I could get that muscle memory down. But unfortunately, okay, you've got like two circles. And it shows the notes. It breaks it into six segments, whatever the fuck it is. And you got the left and the right circles. There's two circles. One you control with the left joystick, the other one with the right joystick. And you got to hit it the right direction to hit that note. And you got to go back and forth and hitting one note to the next. And then there's chords, so sometimes you got to hit both joysticks at the same time in the appropriate direction. And it's Final Fantasy VII's got some ridiculous like mini games in it. It's kind of known for that history. This one's a real bitch. The pull up contest, where it was in the previous one and in the original, was a little bit difficult and took me quite some time to master that. But this, I feel like this might be harder. It's kind of a bitch. I always like with Final Fantasy VII, especially the OG, the original. I mean, I was a completionist. The only thing I don't think I maybe didn't do, maybe I did originally. I don't remember if I took, because there's the golden saucer stuff you do, and I don't think that I ever did the date with everybody, because you can also make the date with Barrett. That might be the one thing I didn't do. Maybe, maybe not. I'm not sure. Like, that was, because that's a pain in the ass. You got to start a whole new game. Well, I guess, I mean, you can save. You got to do certain stuff leading up to that moment that controls, like, who you go on the date with, which I don't think you can do that. That's part of, or maybe it's part of the first remake, which I might have done. I probably did it on there. Because on there, I completed everything for the Platinum Trophy on that. But the original version, kind of a more pain in the ass to do that with. And, I don't remember if I did. Did everything else, though. And so those mini games, like, even though how infuriating they can be. Well, of course, some of the prizes, I mean, you can't go without getting some of those prizes. They're fantastic. Fantastic. Some of the materia you get and whatnot. So, man, I'll muscle through. At some point, I'm going to have to get good at playing that piano minigame. But as of right now, it's a bit of a bitch. It's a bit of a bitch to hit that joystick in the right direction. Because it's at least six. I'm going to, let me pull this fucking up. Let's see here. Piano. Let's see here. Ba-ba-ba-da-da. As I've still got rope going in through my head. This shit's fucking ridiculous, though. It's kind of cool you can choose which character to play with, which I think you can only do Tifa and Cloud. Maybe later, when you get other characters, you can do it. Because I've only got, like, basically the original people you start with. I've met up with Yuffie, but I haven't done the part to where you finally get it as a full-time party member, which, I think it's after you leave Junon. I do like how you can get like different costumes for people. That's something nice. Let's see here. Oh, there's more than six. There's eight little sections that circles cut into, and you got to do the move the direction in that perfect little spot that slice 1/8 segment. Wouldn't be so bad, you know, if it was cut into like 4 or 6, you know. It's eight. It's eight little segments, and it is a bitch. I haven't tried it that much though, so maybe it's just I'm just not used to it. There's a lot of people that ask for help on this one online. There's GameFAQs that are asking for it. people give it a lot of praise, though. Whereas this person is putting, I think it's one of the best music rhythm mini games ever put in a game. It's both fun and beautifully done. Sounds like you just need a bit of practice. It's not that hard once it clicks. I don't know. I feel like... says, depending on how well you can control your little focus on your eyes, I suggest not focusing on the individual notes. Instead, let the notes fall into your peripheral vision and react to them. So you're aware of all the notes instead of going bottom right, middle left, left wheel, down and right, down right, wheel right, and be zipping your eyes all over the screen. This one, Galleon, XX Galleon XX, says... Yeah, I'm not a fan of it either. I managed to get an A on the first song after a few tries, but am not looking forward to the others. Luckily, all you seem to get from it is some materia that can be obtained through some other means, I think. So I may just skip it. Sucks it's tied to a trophy, though. Razzy Healer says, I would say the piano minigame is really just not that difficult, but I also actually play the piano in real life. I just don't like that it's, I don't mind doing rhythm games, you know, like Rock Band and shit, but, I would, I'm again, just not fan of the fact that it's just this hitting the, with a joystick, you gotta hit the right direction shit in rhythm. I'm having issues where it's not counting the note when I'm hitting it. And maybe I just haven't gotten into the right swing of it. It's a pain in the ass, man. Pain in the ass. Can't hit that right note. Anyway, I need to get into finishing the campaign on Diablo 4. I played a little bit, but I need to finish that because the season 4 is coming out Tuesday. I think it is. It's the 14th. I'm not mistaken. I want to say that's Tuesday. Maybe I'm wrong. Tuesday. Looking at the calendar. I do have a calendar on my wall. I could just look over. Yeah, so that's coming out. And I know my buddy Pee-wee is going to be playing that hardcore. And so I'm going to have to be there with him. But I got to finish the campaign before I can do all the season stuff. Got to rock that. I do enjoy the Diablo 4, but it's, again, having Final Fantasy VII and Diablo 4 at the same time, it's kind of a pain in the ass. Because I love me some Final Fantasy VII. I love that shit. And I'm also still playing Call of Duty. I got to get my rounds in with that, keep up with my season shit. And just so much stuff. And playing guitar. And trying to, you know, get my Foo Fighters on. Because if and when, well, we'll just say when I get that DG335, because what's probably going to happen, of course, I'll probably trade in my Epiphone Riviera, no Gallagher signature, which I could care less about that part, but I like the look of it originally. That's why I wanted to go for that dark wine red. It is a nice color, and I like large hollow body guitars. But there's a lot of things I'm not crazy about. I don't like the pickups for an electric guitar. I mean, of course I could just change out the pickups, but at that rate, you know, I'd just probably drop like $300-$400 on. So that right there, like, would probably be what I would end up. Well, I'd probably have to spend another like $600 after trading in mine or so. $500-$600, something like that. To get the DG335, which is kind of a downer, but there's a lot of shit I just don't like about that. The small tuning keys, I'm just not crazy about it. It's got really small tuning keys, which is just fucking, they're just fucking weird. I don't know why they're so damn small. And then, it looks fine on the headstock, but using them, they're just kind of annoying. I just don't like the feel of them either. And there's just something weird about the neck profile. Like when I'm trying to hit stuff higher up on the fretboard, and like, I don't know. Just I have a hard time holding my fingers right. It's like I want to bend the one finger. Like I don't do this on any of the other guitars I own. For some reason, it's got to be the neck profile. Like when I try to play Let It, or not Let It Die, but The Pretender by the Foo Fighters, there's the arpeggio part at the beginning where it's around the ninth fret, whatever, he's doing the arpeggio, and it's really, when I'm holding, I'm not sure what finger it is off the top of my head, but it ends up wanting to kind of bend the string a little bit when I'm holding it down, because just the neck profile feels weird there, is I think the issue I have with it. And then the chord sounds fucked up when I'm playing it because I'm slightly bending the string. There's a part where it's like an arpeggio, and there's a part where he's playing that with chords. He being like Dave, I believe that's Dave Grohl's part, which I think Dave's the one playing that section. Anyway, it's a little weird, and I just love that DG335 so much more. It's got the Gibson Burstbucker pickups in there, which is what I really want in there. I don't like the Epiphone. It's like Epiphone's version of the Alnico Classics, I guess. I don't remember what exactly pickups are in there, but I'm not crazy about them. And, I mean, that just getting those Gibson pickups in there. And the DG335 is a more expensive Epiphone model. It is like the, I guess, Gibson-inspired, I believe is what that's considered. Where they have like the orange drop capacitors, yada yada. Plus, it's got that 6-in-line headstock, which just is way better for tuning stability. I mean, it's just a matter of time before I get that. I mean, I am just playing so many Foo Fighters. I've been waiting though. If I'm going to trade it in, I don't want to just ship out my guitar, pay to have it shipped for them to, you know, to get it through like Sweetwater Musician's Friend sort of shit. I figure I want to go wait till it's like in stock, which I know eventually Guitar Center is going to have that shit in stock. I don't know that River City here in town will ever have that in stock, which I would prefer to get it from there, to be honest. I mean, I would prefer to get the guitar from there. A local, you know, I like to give money to local businesses, of course. I don't know that they'll ever have that though. I just want to go in there and actually try it. So, you know, I feel pretty confident I would prefer to have the DG335 or this Riviera. But I've never played it. I don't know for certain. Like, am I going to really feel... overall, minus that problem with fretting out chords around that when I'm doing some chords. Not all the chords, but there's just something weird again with that profile on that Riviera of the neck. And oh, it just feels really fucking weird. I'm thinking... they just don't have to do. I would love it if they had the DG335 here in town. I figure Guitar Center is my best bet though to have that in stock, and I'd want to play it for. And also, you know, it's like I don't ever have a chance to like whip out my skills, so I want to get into a guitar shop and play a bunch of Foo Fighters songs on the DG335. I doubt anybody will really notice unless I really crank it up, and I'll have to be good for it to be impressive. But oh man, there's a sweet ES335 Epiphone they got the Blueberry Burst here in River City, and it looks fantastic, man. But that's $700. I can maybe trade that up straight up for my Riviera, but I want that DG335, man. I want that 6-in-line headstock. I want those Gibson Burstbuckers in there. That's a big thing with the orange drop capacitors. I've digressed through guitars again as I'm currently looking to, I should probably stop looking at what inventory they have here. At River City. I don't need to be spending more money. That is for certain. That is a fact. And here I am just staring at this shit. Oh, anyway. That's where I'm at with that. The shows I've been watching, I haven't watched anything too new. I've been rewatching the Fallout series, as well as I did watch some of the Star Wars, I believe it's Tales of the Empire. I've seen some of that, which is a decent animated Star Wars. I'm looking forward to The Acolyte, which we got a few weeks yet. Before that hits, I think, again, it's June 4th when that hits. I'm definitely looking forward to July when Deadpool Wolverine comes out. That one's a must-go-to-the-theater-see sort of situation. I've seen all the Deadpools so far in the theater. And having the Hugh Jackman in there as Wolverine makes it so much more important for me to go see the theater, as I need to see these fuckers on the big screen. Just sitting at home, although, you know, I feel like I'm leaving Agent Mulder here out of the loop, leaving Fox out. I don't think that any theater around here is going to be too thrilled, though, if I take my cat with me. Just have him wandering about watching Deadpool. You know, I am not a fan of Crocs, though I've never worn them. To be fair, I've never worn them. But it almost seems like it'd be great to wear some Crocs to go see Deadpool. His bait and shoes. Well, that would probably, make me a bit of a target for the theater security to, not that much, many theaters around here have much in the way of security, but I would imagine they'd be a little on edge to see somebody, if they watched the Deadpool movies and knew, you know, why he wears the Crocs, of course, his bait and shoes. I might have people watching me like, this motherfucker's not going to, like, go full Deadpool, is he? He's not going to go in there and jerk off in those Crocs. Crocs are just atrocious. Those things are, like, and I think they first made their appearance on film in I want to say, Idiocracy. And it was a joke that they became huge, and then self-fulfilling prophecy. Where it says, yeah, here's an article on Snopes about it. Everyone in Idiocracy wears Crocs because they were horrible and cheap. The movie was filmed in 2004, 2 years before the controversial foam-based footwear project took over the world. It's just so hilarious. It says here, this trivia is true. The story behind Crocs in Idiocracy has been repeated by director and co-writer Mike Judge, fucking legend. On multiple occasions in October of 2016, Judge explained their origin in an interview with Fast Company magazine. The wardrobe had to be something that's not around now. It had to be created for a lot of extras. And so, you know, our wardrobe person was looking for ways to make the budget work, and Crocs were not out in the world yet. They were just a small startup at that time. We shot in 2004, so no one was wearing Crocs. And she showed me these things, and I thought, oh, those are great, just stupid plastic shoes. And I said to her, but you actually bought these? You can order these. What if by the time the movie comes out, these things are everywhere and it doesn't look like they're like we're set in the future? And she said, oh no, that's never going to happen. And sure enough, by the time it comes out 2 years later, everyone is wearing Crocs. So it already started coming true even faster than we made the movie, really. The 2006 film tells the story of an exceptional man who finds himself put in a deep freeze and thought, hey, I know this part. Da-da-da-da. It says here, the wardrobe woman had a limited budget, so we shot in 2004. She tells me, okay, there's a startup, and it was Crocs, but they weren't out in the world yet. Oh, this is just a repeat of what it basically said before. These horrible plastic shoes with holes. She said we could really save a lot of money, just put everyone in these things. I said, well, but what if, again, why are they repeating the same shit? Damn you, Snopes. It was around that time, 2006, when it came out, when they really fucking caught fire. Which they finished filming in 2004, but they held on for 2 years. Which the studio really fucking hurt that movie. That's a fantastic movie that they didn't put much behind it. They fucked them. Fucked them. Fucked them royally. Idiocracy. Holy shit. As Crocs are so horrible. It is again, I haven't worn them though. I feel like it's like for me and like a lot of guitar brands. Like I can't say these. It seems that PRS makes some really great guitars. I've never played one. Probably feel a lot different about it. There's something about that headstock that just like is not appealing to me. It looks a lot better than a fucking Croc though. So I can't really compare the two. The bodies on PRSs are fucking amazing. They use some great fucking wood with some fantastic figuring and stuff, and the finishes they put on that stuff, amazing. The headstock, man. The headstock. So I guess that's not a good comparison because there is nothing about a Croc that jumps out to me like that's a fantastic shoe. That's a hot shoe. Other than the fact that it's just shitty plastic shoe. I'm not a fan of sandals either. So a Croc is just like a really shitty pair of sandals to me. I hear they're super comfortable. But, which, you know, I'm not a big style guy. I don't give a fuck. Give me a t-shirt, some blue jeans or some shorts, preferably shorts. Let's go shorts. And I'm good. Pair of running shoes. And, that's it. You know, I'm a rocker at heart. Just the classic tee. Give me the band tee. And we're good to go. That's how I roll. So, I mean, but, though, you know, I like to consider myself a connoisseur, son of a bitch. Oh, learn to speak there, Josh. All right. Connoisseur. I like to consider myself a connoisseur of t-shirts. Considering I printed them there for a while. I can respect some good artwork on a t-shirt. Not all my t-shirts have great art on them, I gotta admit. But when I find one that's got some awesome art, I'm like, fuck yeah, that is fantastic. Now, granted, you know, t-shirts, you know, they have, a lot of people look down upon t-shirts. Man, there's some great fucking art on t-shirts. I mean, it's an art thing. Not all t-shirts have art on them. But good Lord, man, I mean, you find a shirt that's got some fantastic print on it. So this, again, printed for many years. I respect the art. Like I have that great this great Chewbacca back from Kashyyyk, like concert shirt. It's Chewbacca, and it looks like Adam Jones, and it's just back to Kashyyyk, like one night only, I think, something like that. It's a fantastic shirt. Fantastic shirt. I respect that. I was searching for quite a while on the internet for a good Chewbacca shirt. And that was what I came across. I want to say it was Amazon I got it off of. Perhaps it was Etsy. Etsy's got some good stuff. You want like some great art on t-shirts or posters, what have you. They have a lot of band posters from like tour posters and shit. Etsy's fantastic for that. When it comes to just things with a lot of cool art on it, I mean, that's a nice thing about Etsy. I don't go there much, but I'm always seeing shit like, oh, I need to get that, which is a problem because like if it was just on Amazon, being an Amazon Prime member, like, fuck yeah, because I don't have to pay for like shipping and it costs me a lot less. Etsy, I'm like, that's cool. I'll get it eventually, but then I don't ever get around to it because, you know, I have to pay more for shipping and whatnot on Etsy. But again, they have some really fucking cool shit on Etsy. I know the guy, Big Hush, I mean, I don't know him personally, but followed him for years on Instagram and YouTube. And that's who I watched do the tutorial on how to make the Part 4 Jason Friday the 13th mask. And if you don't want to go through the trouble of making one yourself, you can simply buy one of his. unique designs on Etsy. He makes a bunch of those. And yeah, it's really good for shit like that. Just finding stuff like that. And yeah, that's I'm trying to look for a good segue out of that into something else, but I'm blanking. I feel like maybe I shouldn't have taken the Monster Energy drink because there was a moment early on where I was like, just yes, we're doing this. I've got some energy, but I'm tanking hard. I'm hitting that wall. The energy's going down. I feel like maybe if I wouldn't have taken the Monster, I would have had the same amount of energy and not crashed because I was not taking the energy drink. But I am definitely crashing at the moment. And I've got a lot of shit to do today because, again, not doing it tomorrow. We're doing the zoo, and Josh needs a fucking energy shot. I might have to take like a 5-hour energy for tomorrow. Although, when I'm being physically active, I don't have a problem keeping energy, other than maybe work. I mean, at work, I really need some throwing some caffeine because, I mean, that's really hard physical work. That is fucking draining. For the most part, though, I mean, if I'm being active, like running or something, energy's not a problem. I guess cardio's the thing. If I'm doing cardio, I'm staying awake. It's happening. It's a good day. Just sitting around talking in a microphone, yeah, maybe not so much. Maybe not so much. It's an issue with the... I need to get a treadmill and then just walk or run on the treadmill while recording. The audio would probably be shit. Complete shit. But it would keep my energy level up. Maybe if I walked while doing it, it wouldn't be so noticeable. But I feel like with just my head bouncing up and down, it's going to be a little difficult for the audio. I mean, it's going to be something like this, is what I would imagine. And that's annoying. Unless I guess I could rock the headset mic. And then that way, the mic just moved with my face. And so it'd be always, which I guess I can't move my shit with this. I don't know. I'm trying to think like how it would work. I am moving my head back and forth a little bit. I almost feel like I have Parkinson's. Like I'm trying to do an awful Michael J. Fox impression, which just isn't great, you know? Love Michael J. Fox, you know? He's got Fox in the name. How can you not love that? And that great documentary. The only reason I took the trial for the Apple Apple TV stuff was, of course, to watch that documentary they put out of Michael J. Fox, which was really good. I would recommend that. If you got the Apple TV or just want to do a trial of it, watch the Still, I think it's called. And it definitely, I mean, who doesn't love Michael J. Fox? I mean, younger people probably may not know him so well, but I mean, even young kids, I would imagine, have probably seen Back to the Future at some point. That movie has transcended generations, I believe, at this point. And, I mean, it's... Who would have thought? A movie where a guy, you know... It's about a mother falling in love with her son, which is kind of fucked up. Good one for Mother's Day. Which, by the way, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. and, of course, it's basically about, which I... It's been a while since I watched stuff on, like, the making of Back to the Future. I wonder if, like, that was just the... I don't remember if that was the original idea. Like, ooh, this is a way to show some fucked up shit there with a mother, like, falling in love with her son. Not knowing it's her son. You know, that's kind of fucking awkward. Kind of awkward. Which reminds me of a guy I briefly worked at the radio station worked at. That he liked the younger ladies. He, I believe, at the time was, like, in his 40s. Like, late 30s, early 40s. Some, about my age-ish. And he liked the younger ladies. And he started seeing a lady that was like 25. So, yeah, I'm guessing he was in his 40s. Anywho, he proceeded to tell me the story where, again, I know his first name. I don't even feel like putting that out there, but, you know, I don't want to. I couldn't tell you what his last name was. It's unimportant. Anyway, he started seeing this girl. She was 25. It wasn't like he was seeing some underage girl. But he started seeing this girl, and he said he seemed pretty honest guy. I only talked to him a couple of times, but I'm gonna venture to guess that he didn't have sex with her. Just to clarify. That they were over at his house or something, and things seemed like things were going to go that way. He was going to get some action. And they were in conversation, and she brought up who her mom was. And then he's like, whoa, hold up. Started the situation. Hold a minute. Pause for a second. How old are you? Kind of situation. Like, wait a minute. Who's your father? I don't remember the story very well. I do know that, short story, just to wrap up the story, I don't remember the details of the story. But come to find out in this conversation, he did find out that, yes, this was his daughter. lo and behold, he did have sex with her mother, and it was... he did not, for whatever reason, find out about her existence until the moment he tried to, you know, hook up with her. That's got to be a mind fuck to find out, like, oh, man, I'm attracted to my, like, because you got to wonder, like, I want to fuck myself in a way, you know? This is my offspring. Like, this is kind of fucked up. That would really fuck with my brain. Now, I haven't, you know... After the radio station, I never ran into that guy again. So I can't tell you if he continued to date much younger women. I mean, from the way it sounded, like he had his fair share of experiences with women. So, I mean, it's possible that this could happen. I mean, you would hope that he would only have one child that he didn't know about, not many. But, I mean, I guess if you're just banging a lot of ladies getting around town, it's a possibility you could have multiple. This could be, I wonder, like, if, you know, he dated another girl that was, much younger at that point. You maybe just, like, spied, like, hey, what's the name of your mom by chance? Can we get a, just a name? Just make sure I haven't fucked your mom. Like, I imagine there's got to be some test before then, because you'd really be aware, like, you know, I am not fucking any of my offspring, because that is really fucked up. Not John Phillips from the Mamas and the Papas. We're not doing that shit. That is a no-go. So maybe, you know, before sticking it in, find out their parents' names, you know? Find out, make sure that there is no way that there is no relation. No relation whatsoever. Let's make sure, okay, that's your mom's name. Like, was that her maiden name? 25 years ago, did she have that same name? Just research is a good thing, you know? But I don't know. That just might kill any kind of chance you might having sex with him. If you make it too obvious, hey, by the way, I almost fucked my own daughter at one point because I didn't know she was my daughter. By chance, did I fuck your mom? Like, right before getting it on. You just, like, when do you whip that out, you know? Hopefully before you stick it in. You whip that out. You just got to, like, play it off. Like, oh, yeah, so tell me about your parents before we fuck. You do, or maybe just, like, do you know who your father is? Can you tell me who your father is? Because we kind of have some similar features here. Just saying. We're not related, right? Which I guess even if, you know, you're not having sex with people much younger than yourself, I got to say that's probably not a problem females have, since hopefully they would know their children if they gave birth to them. Even if they gave it up for adoption, they would know, like, oh, wait a minute. Which I guess that would have been possible. If this is a female situation, they'd have to, you know, maybe have the child when they were young. And then had given them up for adoption. That would be the case, and which probably wouldn't be unheard of. I would imagine it'd be a lot more rare than it would happen for a gentleman, shall we say. Yeah, but I don't know a good way to bring that up in conversation before. By the way, you do know who your father is, right? just saying. And it's not me. I just want to clarify. It's not me. If it was a situation where the mother just didn't find it important to tell the father, though, like, it could be they may not know the name of their real father, you know? If they have some, like, stepfather in the situation, they're just like, oh, this is just my dad. Just hopefully, you know, you'd find that information out before sleeping with them, because that's just not something you want to live with. Like, oh, fuck my daughter. Which the fella I talked to, does it seem like he did not love the fact that he almost stuck it in his daughter. Again, she was of age, and he was unaware of the fact that it was his daughter. Unaware of the fact. I feel pretty confident, though, I wouldn't have that issue if I slept with a woman that was in her 20s, that I wouldn't be her father, though technically I could be. I'm pretty certain I don't have any children I don't know about, because there is a very small group of women that I've slept with. And pretty sure they never ended up pregnant with my kid. So, just saying. It seems unlikely that I would have that happen. I've had a few blackout drunk moments, though. I'm pretty certain I did not have sex with anyone during those moments. Not something I know for certain. Because, I mean, there could have been... I mean, I was at a bar at one point. Who knows what happened? If it was just... It seems unlikely. I guess there's always that possibility. No one's ever come forward for child support. I know that. But it seems highly unlikely that I know myself too well. It's not something I feel like I would do. Anyway, I got to wrap this up because I do have some cleaning and shit to do. So, as always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.